Hello everyone and welcome to this very special end of year episode of Boat Briefing. My name is Stuart Campbell and I'm very lucky today to be joined by almost the complete podcast team. Cecile, sadly, being Florida based, couldn't be with us, but in the office here in Wimbledon with me today are Sophia Wilson, Caroline White and Charlotte Hogarth Jones. It is our very special end of year review. We're going to look back at some of our highlights from 2022, look ahead to 2023, reveal who is the winner of this year's great big brokerage guessing game. Hint, that we'll reveal all later.
So it's a special episode. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Feeling very festive, actually feeling boiling hot in our tiny podcast recording studio. Wore about 100 layers because it was snowing in London, but it's Baltic in here. No, tropical, not Baltic. The opposite. It's very hot.
Yeah, it's London's gone a bit icy. There's a lot more snow actually here than where I live. Still hacking ice off the car in the morning to get in. Trains, everyone's on strike.
Yeah.
So nothing's really functioning, but we've made it in.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody.
Impressive efforts all round.
And we've done a year of podcast.
Goodness.
Last podcast of the year.
Yeah. That's a nice thing to have ticked off the pre-Christmas list. It's not that we don't love these recording sessions. Highlight of the week, obviously.
We will have a few, we are planning to have a few podcasts to tide you over in the Christmas period. We've got some great sessions from the Explore Yacht Summit, only if we can figure out how to extract a music track from the recording. Grace, our podcast producer, is feverishly trying to figure out how to do that. But hopefully we'll have some great interviews to keep you entertained and up to date over Christmas. And we'll be back in the new year. But first, why don't we kick it off by having a little review? So the events this year was the first big year of returning events, right? Because last year was so disrupted still. And this year, it all kicked off with the World Superyacht Awards. That was the first big one, right?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, actually, when you look back, January and February, we were still kind of Omicron and still hadn't quite kicked off. But yeah, from spring onwards, it's been pretty much back to full swing.
And I don't, yeah, there wasn't, we weren't wearing masks or anything at the World Superyacht. I mean, that was completely restricted.
Boris had released us
by then.
He's still Prime Minister. Do you remember Boris Johnson?
Yeah. two Prime Ministers ago. So that was huge. Obviously, it was great to see everyone. There was a great feeling at the World Superyacht Awards in May in London because I think everyone was just so happy to be back together. I think that was the first big, apart from Monaco last year, it was the first big opportunity for everyone to see one another again.
That was in Westminster Abbey, right?
It was on the Friday evenings in Westminster Abbey.
Because I remember that was just amazing to be in that setting and to be kind of seeing people that you haven't seen for a long time because of COVID.
It was beautiful. Yeah. And then I obviously quite liked it later in the year because when the Queen passed, it meant that we could, where she was, we'd all been.
Yeah.
I don't know whether anyone else found that connection. But
you're sort of pointing out things that you'd seen and...
Instead of doing the funeral, I just like to think, yeah, I stood there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. It was good. I mean, obviously not the Queen dying. No. But it was a real privilege to be in Westminster Abbey. And then the second night we were in the Guildhall. But it was all superbly put together, as ever, by our events team. And then it all moved on to Milan. We did the design festival in Milan.
Yeah, first ever SDF in Milan, I think. First for a while.
Yeah.
First SDF not in the mountains.
No. There's been a couple.
When it started, it was in the States.
Ah, okay.
But it was a great event, but it was also, it wasn't cold and snowy.
Yeah. I mean, what a place, when you're celebrating design, there's not really anywhere better than Milan.
No,
you know,
Milan
it's the home of everywhere you look, you know, the Milanese people are so stylish and there's shops and, you know, everything. But it just feels like all our events this year, it just feels like everyone in the industry was kind of back on it and excited to be out. And, you know, you had such great conversations with people. And yeah, Milan was another one of those events that was so busy. Everyone was in such a good mood. I had a great time there. That was one of my highlights for sure.
I am excited about it going back to the mountains though.
So yeah, I mean, when it was announced at the Milan event that next year would be in Cortina, there was a great big cheer. I think because particularly all the Italian attendees just love being in Cortina because it's such a cool place.
Will you be partaking in the ski cup?
No. I don't have the time to ski. Sophia, what a thing to say.
Stick you on a toboggan and push you down.
I'll do that. Actually, I just prefer standing because that moment, the ski cup and the après-ski après-event party up the mountain is such a release, isn't it? It's an emotional release. And I imagine getting on some skis at that point. It's the last thing I want to do. I just want to kind of stand in the sun.
I'm really into Caroline's toboggan idea. I'm going to make this happen.
Yeah.
So that's an event coming up. So that's in February.
8th to the 10th of Feb, back in Cortina. And we've got some brilliant speakers, largely curated by Charlotte. I mean, you've put together a brilliant, I mean, people from Marvel. And the art director of Marvel. We've got people who are coming to tell us that super yachts, being on the water, why it's good for you and how that's going to affect design.
Yeah. I mean, the one I'm really excited about is there's a guy called Manel Torres who, you know, all of this information's on our website, so you can read up on people a bit more if you're not just brushing up on your skiing. But he's a guy who very recently did a kind of very famous spray-on dress during Paris Fashion Week. But this technology that he can do, this kind of spray-on fabric, is going to be amazing for super yachts, I think. I'm convinced you'll be able to kind of respray your sofa if you've had charter guests make a mark on it, or if you decide that you want to change all your furnishings, instead of booking your yacht in for a refit, you can have a team come on and respray your yacht, you know, all the textiles, you know. And he can change the material that comes out of the spray gun. I'm making it sound very down market. It's actually incredibly cool. But he can make it like an eco material, so it's like seaweed and it biodegrades. He can use it on things like lighting. I think it would be the kind of thing that would be amazing if you were going to have a party and you wanted to transform your yacht, have this team come on board. Like, we know that tablescaping and things like on land have become a big thing at sea, but in terms of kind of really making an impact and transforming things, I think this technology would be incredible at that. So he'll be there kind of, you know, showing us bits and pieces, and he's actually working at the moment on, okay, so he's got this technology, he's working with all the most sought after, you know, companies in the world. He's making some time for us over the Christmas, really, to think about, okay, how could this work on a super yacht and what could it look like, and mock up some CAD drawings and things. So I'm sure that he'll be one of the highlights, and I really look forward to seeing him.
Sounds amazing.
Who from the team's going to volunteer to get a dress spread?
I have tried to volunteer many people.
The natural candidate.
Yeah, he says he doesn't want to spray any more dresses on anyone, so I think we're sparing the audience of SDF that site. But he'll be there, and it'll be back in the mountains, and it will be fun and informative as ever.
Fantastic.
But now is probably an appropriate time to mention that you sadly won't be there, Charlotte.
Yeah, I say I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to someone sort of live streaming me in on WhatsApp as I'll hopefully be giving birth. Won't be there. And that will explain my absence from the podcast, which we thought we should say. Otherwise, it's a bit sinister if I just disappear and never come back again. Exactly. That's where I'll be.
Are you actually due? Are you not due?
I am due on January the 8th.
Oh, okay.
So a month before.
Month before, yeah, exactly. So hopefully we'll already be.
Well, that's
so, you
right.
know,
just,
that is kind of possible.
Just jump on the plane. Yeah. Host a few sessions. I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. But likely I won't see all of you there.
So just as Charlotte leaves on maternity, we got Caroline back this year from maternity. So what was your first event?
I got back just before Monaco, so it was
right.
a real baptism of fire, straight back to Monaco, which was brilliant. But then actually the event that my favourite event that I've attended this year has been the Explore Yacht Summit, which was in Monaco just after the Monaco Yacht Show. And it was just the perfect size. It felt really intimate, but it was still packed with really stellar lineup of speakers. We had adventurous owners, designers, and also the yards that were kind of leading the technical innovations in Explorer vessels. So really cool people and loads of great firsthand knowledge from people who actually know what they're talking about. So I think if you were thinking about going on an expedition, or you just owned a yacht, or you're just interested in it, I think it was probably a really genuinely useful event. I also met one of my most interesting new contacts of the year, a guy called Tomer Ketter, who is a marine geoscientist. So Victor Vescovo, who is an owner who went on an expedition to dive the deepest points in the five oceans, as some of you may know, he's evangelical about mapping the seafloor. And during his speech, he was talking about something that's quite easy for owners to do to contribute to science, which is getting some specialized sonar kit installed on your yacht and just going off on your voyages and mapping the seabed as you go. And there's an amazing amount of the seabed left, even in parts of the Med, which is amazing. So you can really kind of get going on that without having to do anything too crazy. And Tomer went with him to operate and record his data on his adventures. So his job just sounds amazing. It sounds like it's sort of Elizabethan explorer mapping the new world, or an explorer on another planet or something. Just the idea that there's this kind of landscape underneath the sea that's just waiting to be explored, I think is quite cool. Yeah.
Well, so much of it remains unexplored. I think that was one of the key findings, or key points made in 2021 event and the 2022 event. There's so much about the underwater world we just don't know about. The topography of it is alien to us largely. So yeah, that's one of the things, this kind of the citizen science aspect came through really strongly this year. It's an inexpensive bolt-on to your yacht, this kind of crowdsourced sonar effort. And if everyone did that, we'd very, very quickly have a much better idea of what was going on beneath the waves.
I'm going to sort of shoehorn in here, mention a Christmassy mention for Yachts for Science, which we mentioned throughout the year. But just in case people are listening and are wanting to do kind of, whether it's this kind of thing, whether it's training their crew to do certain bits of citizen science, whether it's hosting scientists on board, we're one of the founding partners of Yachts for Science. And if you email yachtsforscience@boatinternationalmedia.com, or if you have a look at the Yachts for Science website, you can drop us a line anytime to ask about, you know, your yacht specifically, what you'd like to do, and we can help you work out a way to do it. We work with Necton, the big kind of scientific research team that does some of the most advanced exploration out there, and lots of other experts as well. So if you're trying to do something, it's, you know, it's a free of charge thing. We can give you advice just with the aim of getting more super yachts doing better things for the ocean throughout the year.
Very sensible. I mean, I remember one of the takeaways from that, from the Explore Yacht Summit, was that it's much more useful to have lots and lots and lots of yachts around the world doing this sort of thing than having one or two really high-tech, massive explorer yachts doing this sort of thing when they go to the Antarctic or something. It's so the more people on board, the better.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that everyone's raving about Explore Yacht Summit, because that's kind of my baby in the company. So that was a highlight. But the other ones that I picked out were slightly sunnier. I don't know what that says about me. But I worked out that my country tally this year is only 7. But of that, I have done 8 trips to Monaco, which is something I think you would probably only do if you work for Boat International. Stuart, I did a little tally for you to see which of us won. Not that I'm at all competitive. And it was quite creepy actually for me, but I am kind of known in the office as your unofficial PA. I get asked about 7 times a week where Stuart is. But my tally I came to you for you was 9. I got St. Barts, America, Turkey, Italy, Holland, France, Monaco, Australia, and New Zealand. Did I miss any?
No, that sounds about right. I don't imagine, well, actually, I was going to say 2023 is not going to be as bad, but I know it's going to be worse.
what
a stupid thing to say. Yeah. 2023 is going to be way worse.
Continue to be terrible parents. Yeah. Charlotte, you're soon joining the club of being an abandoning parent.
Absolutely.
It's wonderful. Anyway, one of my highlights of the year, being an abandoning parent, was a trip that I did to Bermuda, where we took a group of charter brokers and managers out there to kind of explore the island, working with the tourist authority to really highlight what it could offer for super yachts. I've been fortunate to spend a bit of time in Bermuda before, and I love it out there. The weather was amazing. We had a beautiful afternoon out sailing on a catamaran all around the island and kind of really getting an idea of what the cruising would be like there, which is something I hadn't been able to do before. It's also just got a great culinary scene as well. Everything I ate, just beautiful fresh fish and ceviche, and lovely weather. So I was able to work on my tan, which always makes me happy. And I think also another reason why it's a highlight is I think we are already seeing some of that influence from that trip. So there have been a couple more yachts available for charter there. And I think more people are talking about Bermuda, and it is it's coming up as a super yacht destination. So it's always nice to feel like we're achieving what we're meant to be doing at the same time.
Yeah, no, it's a really important thing to do because it is a beautiful place to cruise and dive.
Yeah, well, you're heading out there probably next year, I believe.
Yeah, I think I'll be there in February.
Yeah, your tan's not going to be quite so good.
No, the weather's not. It's not actually that warm there then.
No.
But that's fine.
Yeah. Works for you. And then another fave highlight I had was actually I slipped back into being my old travel editor role for a glorious week, well, glorious kind of 48 hours. So I stayed at this beautiful property called Le Grand Jardin, which is a 13th century private walled estate on the island of Saint-Mangouillette, which is literally just off Cannes. So you can look back and see all of Cannes. It's just an incredible property. It's the only place where you can stay on the island. So no one else is on the island overnight. So I went for a run in the morning and literally had this whole island, but looking back on, you know, that stretch of coastline that we all know so well. And I also was there that it was two of boats, quite regular freelancers that I happened to be with, Rachel Ingram and Julia Zeltzman. So it was also a bit of a kind of girls trip away, and I had a massage and it was just delightful.
Charlotte?
Salone earlier in the year was fantastic. The big furniture fair in Milan, or, you know, where every super yacht designer and owner goes to get lighting and inspiration and furniture and bits and pieces. And that was, yeah, like I was saying about the events earlier in the year, it was the kind of first big industry event post-COVID that was absolutely buzzing. It was so busy. It was so hot. It was so exhausting. But so much cool stuff, you know, it was like running around a toy shop, basically. Everything was, you know, interesting and new and different. So some really cool stuff. Like at Last Fit, there were this incredible kind of bubbled glass that was made in molds using mycelium, which is a kind of fungus. So they grow the fungus and then they pour the glass inside. So everyone is completely different, a bit like a snowflake, which I just thought was very cool and amazing. And then there was the kind of Ralph Lauren had done a big palazzo in one of these old Italian buildings, which are just incredible. And you find yourself, you know, looking at the furniture and stuff, and then you look up to the roof and there's a fresco and, you know, some incredible painting, and you think, oh my God, I can't believe the setting I'm in, basically. And then there was this big Dolce & Gabbana party, which was loads of fun. And they had their big showroom, which was so much color. All their new collections were kind of bright. It's inspired by kind of a sort of traditional sort of gypsy folkloric art. But it was quite nice to see some kind of super yacht fun. You know, there was these big bars that fold out into huge contraptions and all these bright colours. And it really made me think, God, yeah, it would be nice to be on a yacht in the Med with one of those. And they also have a huge array of kind of leopard print dressing gowns and stuff. And as much as we write about kind of the way that interiors are moving in more tasteful directions and kind of everything's getting, you know, more natural and whatever, there's also, you know, what's a super yacht for if not to make it exactly what you want? And if you want leopard print sheets, then why not? It's fun. And that kind of concluded with the CEO of Luxury Living Group put me in a Bentley and kind of drove me around everywhere that I hadn't been to because I'd been too hot and too tired to get there. So I think I left no stone unturned in Milan then, and was obviously then back there a couple of weeks later for SDF. So that was great. SDF was fantastic as well. You know, the aperitivo cocktail party that we had on the first night was loads of fun, very busy. It was nice to catch up with a number of different owners, all of which had sort of ambitious design plans for either homes or their yachts. So hopefully we can bring some of those to you this year, as they should all be nearing completion. Giorgetto Giugiaro, this very famous car designer, and he's also done yachts, he's done cameras, he's done basketballs, he's done shapes of pasta, he's done everything. He spoke and he was incredible because, you know, he's an older guy and sometimes you just don't know what to expect from people. And he really just commanded the room despite only speaking Italian and having a translator there. And I found it quite endearing that kind of Andrew Winch was kind of queuing up and trying to get him to sign his program, a bit like a kind of little boy at the end of a play or something. And I thought, God, when you have Andrew Winch kind of hovering in the wings, desperate to get you to sign his book, you know that you're onto a good thing. And I thought he was interesting because it got me thinking about design in a different way, in that the way he was talking about it, he was basically saying good design is just good maths. You work out the problem you have to solve, the dimensions that need to, you know, the restrictions that there are to make it work, and then you design within those parameters. And I would never have thought about it in that way, but I kind of take his point, because I think one of the reasons he's been so successful with turning his hand to everything is that every manufacturer knows that what he designs will actually work and will be able to be manufactured and made and will look as good in practice as it does on a piece of paper, which I think was quite a good takeaway for all the young designers in the room as well. Some of the criticisms we get of some of the designs we receive for different competitions and concepts and things is, well, yeah, this looks amazing, but actually I know that that's not going to work in practice. I know that that's not going to float, essentially. So it was interesting to take a slightly more practical take on things and to see that you can still design really beautiful things coming at it from that standpoint.
I loved the Giugiaro session. I think as an Italian, to be asked to design your own pasta, that must be the ultimate.
Yeah, you got a standing ovation as well, which is not something I'd seen before. But yeah, what a guy, and really nice as well. And yeah, really great to meet him. And then my last highlight was the Jaws impression that Stuart did on this very podcast, which came out of nowhere. You know, I was just sitting at my desk and Sophia came back from the recording looking slightly shaken. And I said, what's happened? And she sort of said, Stuart's done something terrible. And I thought, God. And it was this, yeah, it was this kind of, I'm sure Grace can dig it out and replay it. We can link to the episode it was on. I've got it saved on my desktop, so I have to just play it to cheer myself
just any
up.
Sad but, moment.
Yeah, he really threw himself into it. It reminded me a bit of Sally Field's Oscars acceptance speech, another good speech to look up on YouTube. Such passion, such intensity, such commitment to a role, and with no prompting from anyone, just came out of nowhere. So yeah, heartily enjoyed that and would recommend having a listen if you haven't already.
It's also surprisingly long.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not the odd mention, it's just... No one saw that coming.
Least of all Sophia, who was sitting opposite me, just staring at me quizzically, and then increasing alarm.
I also didn't even understand the connection.
No.
You just kind of really bowled into it.
It sort of feels like it was rehearsed as well, like for hours beforehand.
I was in the mirror all morning, practicing that.
We know that there's a lot of yachting documentaries and yachting programs going out. I think it was a sort of short opportunity for a casting call to just fire something into the ether.
What was the link? I can't even remember now.
It was to do with the shipwrecks that Paul Allen had found, and one of them is the submarine.
One was the USS Indianapolis.
Right.
That's right. And the I'm
which nobody
really fighting yeah.
which
really
nobody
fighting
knows.
To restrain myself from doing it again. US is the Indianapolis.
But nobody knows that that's mentioned in Jaws.
So niche.
That's the guy.
I know, you're right, but nobody knows
just
that.
So niche.
God. So what about 2023? Lots going on, obviously. World Superyacht Awards in Istanbul.
Yeah, Istanbul, that would be amazing because it's a sort of return to Istanbul, right?
Yeah, it is. I can't remember what
2013,
year.
I think.
Is that right?
So it must have been the last one before you joined Boat.
I think it was a little bit before that.
2014 was Amsterdam. I feel like 2013 was Amsterdam as well. So maybe it was like 2012 in Istanbul.
I have heard that it was like the most spectacular place to hold an award ceremony. So I think it'll be a brilliant place to do it.
Warm evenings on the Bosphorus, all that kind of stuff. It's so romantic, isn't it? It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing.
So loads to look forward to coming up next year. And obviously we'll kind of keep you posted on things as and when they happen as well. And the results of all these regattas and things. But now to the main point of the podcast, the whole reason we're doing this is to celebrate that Stuart was right.
I mean, it's about time. We dedicated a whole podcast to that subject. So at the start of the year, you might remember, regular listeners, that we obviously last year 750 superyachts were sold in the brokerage market. So a phenomenal year of success for the brokers and the brokerage community. Just so much better than everything that came before. Not even a little bit better, just wildly better performance. And so we looked ahead to 2022, rather, at the start of the year and said, well, what do we think this year will do in brokerage terms? And everyone was a bit more bullish than me.
Yeah, we did a bit of kind of forecasting and I think I got carried away. I said 610, which was way off. And so far I said 650, which was even more way off.
In my defense, I'd like to say that the world was quite a different place on January the 1st. there's been external factors which I feel has maybe dampened the market slightly more than we.
Yeah, there's been a few headwinds. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Stuart saw them coming, apparently.
I saw them on the horizon.
Eeyore over here was.
And I said, well, I'm going to go 525. So, and actually, as it stands right now, there have been 506 superyachts sold so far on the brokerage market in 2022. So by the time the year all wraps up, I reckon 525 is going to be
Do you think you're going to be bang on?
Absolutely bang on.
Wow. Well, obviously, to add the excitement around this, there's always a bottle of champagne on this bet. Last year it was just me and Stuart involved in the bet, and I lost. Bought very cheap champagne, and this year I lost again and was obviously aiming to buy similarly cheap champagne, but the train strike went, I had to come a different way, so I actually have had to splash out on the...
I think legally you're not actually allowed to call it champagne. fizzy grape water, I think.
Anyway, this year I've splashed out on the real deal.
Thank you.
So, yeah, Merry Christmas, everyone. And congratulations, Stuart.
Yeah, congrats and thank you.
I'm not sure those congrats were hearty enough.
Well, it's still an amazing amount of deals.
Yeah, actually 525, even if it does end up at 525, that's still the second best year on record and by some distance. Off the top of my head, I think the previous best year was like 430-ish or something like that. So yeah, so 750 last year, just amazing. And 525 this year is another year of phenomenal success, even if it's a bit slower than 2021. So obviously we'll be doing this when we return in January, looking ahead to 2023, and those headwinds seemingly have only grown stronger. So, well, we'll talk about this next year, won't we, and put some figures down on paper.
I'm gonna do some proper analysis. I think I might rate Raphael.
Get Raphael on the case.
Exactly.
I can't
that,
lose.
Is that fizzy grape water?
No, this is nice. Champagne this year.
Maybe you're not used to nice champagne.
Spent proper money on this.
Champagne's not spelled with two G's. So,
So while I might be terrible at guessing brokerage numbers, I'm minorly better, hopefully, at helping to run the digital side of the business. And it has been a record-breaking year for BI.com. Record numbers of users, record numbers of sessions, particularly in August, we hit 1 million users for the first time, which was a very exciting number. I think we spoke about it at the time. But we thought we'd quickly run through what have been some of the big hitters for this year online, because it's really interesting to see what really resonates, particularly with that wider audience. So does anyone want... I mean, everyone can look at the scripts. I don't know why I'm doing this. Does anyone want to take a guess at what the... Without looking at the script, at what the most read yacht feature was on BI.com this year.
I think this is interesting because when you look at the top 10 kind of most read articles, a lot of them have kind of fascinating characters behind them.
Yeah.
So number one was the piece about the Wolf of Wall Street's yacht Nadine. I don't know how much of that was helped by the scenes on the movie of everyone kind of dancing around on it and sort of setting the scene. But yeah, fascinating story. And the second most read yacht report was to do with Saddam Hussein's yacht.
Well, they're brilliant. They're brilliant stories, simply. And that people really engage with this kind of stuff. And a lot of this traffic also comes from
social. So those top two are our biggest kind of social hitters. And what's amazing is that we re-put them on social from, you know, every few months. And every time they have the same connection. So it's really interesting.
The Basra Brit, that's a brilliant story. And I think... I mean, it's not a terribly happy ending, the Basra Brit story, because the yacht is still kind of rotting in Iraq now. No one can quite figure out what to do with it, right? It belongs to the Oceanographic Institute or something like that.
I can't quite remember now. It's been moved around various people, but it's basically one of those boats that is a bit of a kind of poison chalice to own, in that it costs a lot to run and it's not particularly kind of... You know, she's not a beautiful old classic that everyone wants to spend time on. So she's passed through various hands. At one stage, she was with the university for ocean research. At one stage, she was a kind of wedding venue, which I found really, you know, just bizarre. But you do get these boats that just get kind of passed from person to person. And sometimes they then end up with the right owner who kind of transforms them and brings them back to life. And it's all got a happy story, but a happy ending, sorry. But this one doesn't. This is still sort of languishing somewhere. But yeah, it, apart from anything else, it's just fascinating to see the pictures of what it looked like at the time Saddam Hussein owned it.
And the story of the commissioning of it.
Mm,
just,
yeah.
The generals turned up at the Danish shipyard and made all these crazy demands. We want buses and Rolls Royces and Mercedes.
Yeah. Sounds like the negotiations. Negotiating with Saddam Hussein's yacht team is not for the faint-hearted.
Brilliant story.
Yeah, great, great read, that one.
So, yeah, the top five. So Nadine, the Wolf of Wall Street yacht. So many people have read that. Then Basra Breeze. Then a yacht report about M5, the biggest sloop in the world.
I think she's also been, I might be wrong this, I think she's also been in the States this year, M5. So lots of people have seen her and then are kind of Googling around what they're looking at.
Then in fourth place, Eclipse, a feature that I wrote actually some years ago, five, six years ago, about Eclipse.
You're looking at me to photos. Exactly remember when you wrote that feature. Yeah. I don't.
And then in fifth place was another amazing story, one of my all-time favorites that we've published actually. It's about a shipwreck called Blue Gold, which is in Vanuatu. And it's just this amazing Perini that's slung up on a beach and no one can quite figure out how to get it off. Not a beach, a reef rather. And you can actually see it on Google Earth. You can use a satellite imagery to have a look at it up there on the reef. But brilliant story about how it ended up there and various attempts that have been made to get it off that reef, so far unsuccessful. Top five news stories of 2022. Number one, by some distance, was a concept by Rob Doyle and a few others of the Trimaran Domus, which got huge play.
It is an amazing rendering.
Yeah.
And it does sort of, it blows your mind to look at it. And again, similarly, that does a lot of social traffic for us as well, because people see that image and have to know more.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is it's such a powerful image, that story. You see the picture and you just want to know more about it. It's an incredible looking thing. Really sort of space age.
Next up, we had news about Y721, the big new three-masted schooner from Ocean Co. For, well, pretty obvious reasons. it's very, very newsworthy boat. Biggest yacht in the world, if you discount Sailing Yacht A, and very famous owner, and lots of controversy about bridges in Rotterdam and things like that.
And well, we think she now has a name. We think she is now going to be called Koju.
Koju.
Oh, really?
We're waiting for kind of, it hasn't changed on the official titles yet, but we believe that's what she's going to be called.
Excellent. Then a bit of a disaster story. A yacht called 007 ran aground in Greece earlier this year. Not such happy news. Below Deck.
Always there.
Made it into the top five with the news that Home, the Heesen, will feature in season 7. And then in fifth place was another sinking story, another tragic story about a yacht called My Saga, which sank in Italy. The footage of that is pretty harrowing. Top five. Domus, way out at top. Then Big Ocean Coast, big new sailing yacht, two sinkings, and Below Deck. But the big news for you, Charlotte, let's face it, of the year.
I've got some big news, and I've been saving this up for roughly 4 weeks until I could be on a podcast to announce it, which is the news, the shocking news that we open our news section with, that Stars and Bars in Monaco has closed, or at least it will have done by January 27th next year. Which I'm very sad about, because it's kind of, you know, Monaco icon. When I first came to Monaco Yorkshire, everyone said, oh, you know, have you been to Stars and Bars? You need to go to Stars and Bars. And it's always where the boat team are kind of hanging out. It's a strange place. But anyway, not quite sure how to describe it. If you know, you know, basically. Many, many good memories there. And the owners, I saw the owners had done a LinkedIn post, and so many, you know, in the way that LinkedIn is quite serious and worky, so many people had written underneath, you know, this terrible news and so sad to hear of the, you know, closing of Stars and Bars. But I went on the website to get the official news, and they said, there's a kind of holding message up at the moment saying, after 30 years of sharing our love for great food, ambience and service, we have decided to close the Stars and Bars to pave the way for a world-class, holistic, sustainable concept that will change the Monaco landscape and hopefully the world forever.
Wow.
So if that's not big news, I don't know what is, because that is... Yeah, stars and bars, no more burgers, and instead something that's going to change the world forever. So definitely want to keep on your radar.
So it's the same owners?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I think so. It's all very cryptic. I've been doing my best to kind of piece it together. Not particularly successfully.
You haven't rung them directly for a quote.
I should have done, shouldn't I? Maybe I will over the Christmas holidays and see what's going up. But yeah, I know lots of people will be saddened by that news. We'll see by come next Monaco what's there and what's going on.
It'd be a world, so stars and bars, burgers and fries, changing to a world-changing sustainable concept.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't even know what the sustainable concept is.
No.
Is it more sustainable burgers, or is it, you know, something completely different? I don't know.
It was a good refuge, stars and bars, wasn't it? It was always a good place.
It's a good hub.
You've got to hide in the back of it.
Yeah.
And not be bothered for a time at the Monaco Yacht Show, which is always, it's always nice to have a little refuge.
It's also just like it's a landmark, really. People say, oh, I'll meet you by stars and bars, or the yacht's over by stars and bars, or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously the big news.
Yeah, that's the big news.
So what,
move on to
we do have some other
the actual news.
Why don't you kick us off, Charlotte?
Okay, all right. Well, the first actual real news is that Polish shipyard Konrad has christened its 44.27-metre flagship superyacht Ace during a private ceremony in Gdansk in Poland. The yacht now holds the title for the largest superyacht to be built in Poland. Commissioned by a Swiss owner who was introduced by the luxury charter group, the yacht began construction at the yard's facilities back in summer 2020. She's the first in Konrad's C144S line and surpasses the shipyard's previous flagship Viatoris by 4.5 metres in length.
World Superyacht Award winning Viatoris. It got it picked up a gong 4 years ago, something like that.
Oh, sounds pretty cool. Ace features an exterior profile by British studio Raymond Langton in collaboration with the Dutch-based Diana Yacht Design and the yard's in-house team. Her interior is the work of Milan-based firm M2 Atelier. Sounds like a great team there. The christening ceremony was attended by the owner, shipyard representatives, the design team and journalists, including our very own Cecile Gower. Saw that she had gone and it was looking very snowy, and Gdansk looked incredible, actually. As well as the CEO of Konrad, and this is really going to test my Polish pronunciation, Mikołaj Król. So Król described the yacht as the pioneer of a new and groundbreaking line of luxury superyachts of this length. And I'm sure Cecile will give us the full lowdown on that very shortly.
Caroline.
So South African shipyard Southern Wind has launched its first hybrid superyacht. The fourth unit in its SW96 series has been christened Nyamba, meaning home in Swahili. The 29.24-metre sailing yacht is the first hybrid propulsion model in the Southern Wind fleet and has been designed for an experienced yachtsman with ambitions to compete in superyacht regattas and sail around the world shorthanded. Construction was completed at the South African shipyard with hull lines designed by Far Yacht Design and an interior courtesy of Nauta Design. Nyamba is ready for sea trials in Cape Town and delivery is scheduled for October 2023. She joins sister ships Cetius, Ammonite and Sorceress on the water while construction on a fifth SW96 model began in July 2022.
Last but not least.
So finally is the news that America's oldest superyacht, Coronet, is undergoing an extensive renovation. The 40.5-metre yacht has been moved to the Mystic Seaport Museum in Connecticut for the final stage of the project, which has been ongoing for nearly 30 years. The yacht was originally built in 1885 at New York-based shipyard Poleon. Coronet is the oldest registered yacht in the US and has had a number of high-profile owners, including oil tycoon Rufus T. Bush and railroad magnate Arthur Curtis James. The wood-hulled sailing yacht has 3 years of restoration work ahead of her and will remain on display at the museum while the work is undertaken. Exact details of the project at the moment we're still not quite sure about, but it's understood that the interior will be the next point of focus. The yacht was acquired by Newport-based IYRS School of Technology and Trades in 1995, and she was scaled back to the frame and actually sliced in half in order to be rebuilt as part of this project. And in 2004, she was added to the National Register of Historic Places, so it'll be amazing to see when it's finally completed in a couple of years' time.
It's great to see these old classics being saved for posterity. And there was another story, I think it was a Trump P early this year. Hours before it was supposed to be demolished, someone bought it, stuck it on a barge and took it around for restoration. Always happy to see those stories. And now, for the last time in 2022, some data from Boat Pro, our award-winning market intelligence service, which has just had a big update, actually, Sophia, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. So Boat Business and Boat Pro have merged, so you'll now find them in the same place on bi.com. Boat Pro still offers the same incredible market intelligence, but it's also going to have some more kind of journalistic analysis as part of that as well, moving forwards in 2023. And there's now Boat Pro News, where you can find all your latest news, financial reports, interviews with industry leaders. And also there's a dedicated weekly newsletter. So sign up if that's your bag.
It's good stuff. But rather than deep dive into some esoteric subject, this week we're just going to look at where some of the big boats are. We've just got onto GoPro and said, where are all the big boats? Obviously, there's a brilliant yacht tracking service through Boat Pro, particularly the top 101. And of the top 101 yachts, because obviously the January issue featured our top 101, 38 are currently cruising. 21 are already in the Caribbean. Three are in Florida, two are en route to the Caribbean, two are en route to the Caribbean. Three are in Qatar, six are still in the Med. One's in Mexico, Viva. Aquarius, the Fed ship, is in Brazil. An Octopus is en route to Antarctica, I think for the first time ever.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it? Yeah. So that would be amazing. We've got to get the story of Octopus in Antarctica. All right. Action. Post-podcast action. Some BARTs. Although the big ones, some of the big ones are making their way there. Moonrise, the 99.95 meter Fed ship, is there with its support boat Nebula. But I thought I'd put it to you three. If you had access to your super yacht right now, where in the world are you taking it?
Well, I've given this plenty of thought sort of throughout the year. And the two on my hit list is I would love to go to Papua New Guinea and around there and also sort of around Fiji and things like that. I just think they seem like really fascinating cultural places. And I love, you know, one of the things I love about sailing and I love about yachts is the ability to go to these incredibly remote places that you just can't get to otherwise, or you know, to be able to explore them in a better way maybe than if you were doing everything by land and by air. And I think that area, you know, just to get to meet some incredibly different communities and the scenery and the landscape and everything. And I find it quite interesting whenever you speak to really well-traveled yacht owners. Like, I can't remember who it was I was speaking to the other day, but I was speaking to, Ovin Laidlaw, who spoke at Explorer Yacht Summit. And he was, you know, talking about all the places he's been all over the world. You know, you'd be hard pushed to find someone who's better traveled than him. And he was saying he loved it around there. And you quite often hear that from owners who've been anywhere and everywhere, that that's one of the places they go back to because it's just incredible. So that's top on my list. And then Alaska as well, because we interviewed the owner of Ocean Dreamwalker 3 a long time ago. Well, I say a long time ago. I think it was this year, maybe last year. But I did a big piece with him talking about the kind of sites and everything there. And yeah, I really want to see bears. I want to see bears from a yacht.
I don't think you want to be in Alaska for Christmas, though.
Yeah.
It'll be a bit chilly. Yeah. I'm brave. It'll be all right. It'll be fine. I mean, this is my kind of fantasy world. So it's actually not that cold in my vision of everything. And there are bears and big salmon and rainbow.
Santa.
And I might see Father Christmas. Yeah, exactly. So that's where it's on my list.
Okay, so let's
not say, a big ask.
Christmas. Let's say Christmas in Papua New Guinea.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, I was also going to say somewhere northern and cold because it's Christmassy. So we just spoke to the owner of Asteria for an adventure feature, which is coming out in the February issue. And they went to the Arctic and Greenland. And what sounds particularly cool at the moment is because so few yachts have been up there because of COVID, all of the young, for example, polar bear cubs haven't seen humans before, so they have no fear. So all these animals that ordinarily are, you know, quite difficult to get anywhere near, are easier to, I mean, whether you should probably get too close to a polar bear is not necessary. Polar bear cubs, but anyway. Yeah. But it sounds like a pretty amazing time to go up there. So I'd say, maybe Greenland would be a cool place to go.
You can see the Northern Lights from there as well, which would be pretty cool.
Exactly. So that's my pick.
Christmas on board Sofia, where are you going to be?
St. Vincent and the Grenadines, or Grenada and that chain. I love that part of the Caribbean. I'm quite tired. I just would like, I'd like a week on board, a lot of rum, some nutmeg ice cream, some nice beaches, a few dips with some turtles.
A few what with some what?
Swims with some turtles.
Right, yeah, sorry.
It's being a case, if you swim there, there's just all these amazing green turtles that swim around you and it's beautiful. And a cracking suntan. That's all I want for Christmas.
How about you, Stu?
One thing I'd like to do on my bucket list is spend New Year's and Christmas in St. Barts. Just because if you look on Boat Pro around that time of year, it looks like a super yacht parking lot. There's amazing boats there, and the parties, I have been told, are pretty spectacular. So it's not something you'd necessarily want to do every year. Like, I'm all about Papua New Guinea. Brilliant.
Yeah, but
having
got to party with the party.
cuddling bear cubs and hanging out in St. Vincent and the Grenadines and not getting a tan. But St. Barts for, I think St. Barts for Christmas and New Year would be pretty special. I'd like to do that. The boats are already turning up, and this year should be a bumper one. But until I get the invite, I guess I'll be stuck.
You are famously jammy, Stu. I wouldn't put it past it happening.
Well, it's, if the owner of Moonrise wants to give me a call, you know where I am. And that's it for us. Really, that's it for 2022. Like I said at the beginning, we'll try and bring you some great interviews over the Christmas period to keep you entertained. But I wish you all the best. I hope you have a fantastic Christmas and New Year. I think, speaking for all of us, we can't wait to see you in 2023. Merry Christmas, everyone.